Yeah.
The Lord is my Aaron Shepherd.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, our guest is choreographer, dancer, and improviser Aaron Shepherd. We talk with Aaron about the intricate dynamics of family relationships when you're an atheist and they aren't.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-hosts, Molly Glover.
I'm a wizard.
And... she is. That's absolutely true. And Nick Glover.
Hey.
And we are joined this week by Aaron Shepherd.
Hi. Yay.
She is a local choreographer and dancer, does absolutely amazing work. And she is all... well, you do. I mean, it's freaking fantastic. We just got done, by the way. We mentioned many, many weeks ago we were doing an epic lip sync battle.
Yes.
Here at Die Laughing. We are still at Die Laughing. We just got done with it. Molly, myself, and Aaron all performed in the battle. Aaron closed us out with Say.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was so great. Good.
Everybody was good. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was asleep. Well, I mean, or close to it.
He was trying to sleep. He was trying very desperately to sleep.
I think I was too tired to know if I actually got any sleep in or not.
I'm thinking you slept and your brain just think your brain just was awake, and so your brain thinks you didn't sleep.
The last time I looked at the clock, I think it was after one.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna record this podcast, and three of us are gonna get about 3 hours sleep.
Yeah. Aaron, I think did I see you in the Yes Anderson production?
Yes.
Oh my god. Oh my god, that was good.
Yeah.
That was my favorite improv show I've seen all year.
Oh,
honest to god.
Yeah,
it was
for
so
sure.
good.
That show was what, you know, when you come across an idea, just like the concept of Yes Anderson.
Yes.
First of all, but then like
as an improv show
and doing
as a name, it's just
we love Wes Anderson movies,
right?
But you guys
like
are spot on.
When we saw a postcard for it, I was like so jealous that I was a little bit angry. Why does this idea exist and it wasn't mine?
The name's so good. Yeah.
It was so perfect.
I can't wait to see the next one.
It was so well executed.
We just opened tonight.
Yeah.
I
did that before coming
here. It went well. It went really well. Yeah, it was a good way to open. And
we're gonna come next weekend.
The life improvise.
Yeah. Life impromptu.
The life impromptu. Right. Yes. Yes.
I don't know when this episode is going up. How long is this? Yes Anderson running?
It's Yes Anderson, the Life Impromptu, runs at Huge Theater, 8 p.m. Saturdays. What month is it? March.
It's March.
It's March.
Oh my God. March and April.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So this will go up. This will go up late March. So seriously.
So you got another month.
You guys, I can't even tell you. If you like Wes Anderson and you like improv, this is the sweet spot. You will just be so delighted. It's delightful.
Yeah.
Yeah. The scene painting stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, Aaron is also an improviser, I should
say.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
And dancer and choreographer. Last year, Aaron and I both did part of Five Fifths at the Fringe. We did Five Fifths of The Shining.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I was the opening, and Aaron was the closing.
And then you saw our elevator.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, there was so much pressure. I'm like, fuck, Aaron's closing the show. It better not suck. Holy shit. And she also does great, fantastic storytelling choreography. And I think that's where our topic is coming from. So why don't you talk about the show you did on Halloween?
Sure. So I'm part of the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Mm.
And we have done 3 years so far. We've been performing at the Southern Theater, and it's artist-driven, and so I'm one of the founding artists. And this past year, I did a show called Dance with the Devil.
Ooh, spooky.
It's dancing, but also scary.
Blah, blah.
And so I wanted to think about it. I have a couple choreographers that I work with, and so I was just kind of, we were throwing out ideas of, like, what would you sell your soul for? And so... I did a piece about selling your soul for fame, and then there was like a piece about like working for the devil, like corporation kind of idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
Selling your soul to the man.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
Sure.
Yep. being part of the machine.
Yeah.
And then there was someone selling their soul to bring someone back to life. So someone's whole love dies,
Orpheus
you bring
style.
Them back to life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And then selling your soul for love. And of course, like with the devil, like what I like about, like Tim was saying, I like to think of dances as a story. And so like think of it as like a little mini horror movie in each mm-hmm. song.
Sure.
And so we thought like, well, with the devil, there's like, he's a trickster. So you sell your soul for something, you do get it, but there's like a great price.
Or like a monkey's paw twist.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And so there was the like, so for fame, we had one person that was a pop star and somebody wanted to be the pop star. And so she signs her soul away. And then what happens is the backup dancers end up killing the real pop star and awesome. Makes the other girl take her place.
Awesome.
So that it's this kind of like, so there's the horror mm-hmm. piece
careful
of it.
What you wish for.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just fun to kind of think about the, like, temptation, like how far would you go for something or how badly do you want it?
Yeah.
And I was thinking more in terms of like greediness or maybe lust or maybe that kind of like
seven deadly sins
but it didn't really hit me because like I don't think of the devil as like a real thing, like it is
sure.
a temptation or it is like
allegory kind of
like to me it was like more of a fairy tale of like here's
right.
a genie in a bottle, he's gonna mm-hmm. grant you some wishes. And I didn't think, I don't believe in hell, so it was like, I wanted to do something in hell, but I couldn't figure out, like, how to make it without making a big statement about, or making people think that I thought of it in some way.
You didn't want it to be a religious show,
right.
or an anti-religion show,
right.
it was Halloween.
Yeah, and I wasn't trying to say, like, oh, this is my true belief of how I feel about something, I just kind of was like, oh, Dance with the Devil, that's kind of cute, because we're dancing
mm-hmm. yeah.
with the devil, we had a guy be the devil, and we actually did a dance with him, so that was fun. But it was interesting, because I realized as I was talking about it with people, that the devil is a true thing for people who are religious, and hell is a true thing for people who are religious, and I got into some kind of awkward conversations where I would just kind of like try to like slowly take my promo card back and like skulk away into the shadows.
Maybe this is not the show you should watch.
The devil is
right.
like a historical figure, not like a fictional or allegorical.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did they think that you were conjuring, or is it that thing where like if you say the name, the devil will come?
Yeah.
And, I mean,
no, I think
fate.
Like the feeling I got, like, and this is from my brother's mother-in-law. The thing that I got from her was that she was like, she actually had fear in her eyes. Like, she's super duper religious, mega church. Like, she gets married a lot. And part of that is because she doesn't believe in premarital sex. And so she'll give it a year. And if they're still dating within a year, then, like, she marries that guy.
Right,
she wants to do it.
Yeah. That's natural.
Right. And then, and then they end up being, like, crazy. Like, she was with this one guy. This is divergent, sorry, but
that's all right.
That's what we do.
it was so weird. So my brother used to throw a solstice party every year, and he was at this person's house. Like, I don't even know who this person was. It was like somebody that he worked with was like, yeah, just use my house, we're gonna be out of town. So that was cool. And so this was when he and his wife were first dating, and so he invited me and my parents and her parents, which was her mother and then her current husband. And this guy was, I'd never done this before, but have you ever microwaved like a Yag shot?
Oh,
and
what?
Drinking it, drank it warm.
What?
Yeah, it's like,
I know they make heater dispensers.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of amazing, but it was also weird to have like somebody's like new husband be like forcing shots on people, and then he's like was really forcing it on my mom, which was like so weird to see, like, because my mom is like super awkward, and he was like, it was weird. And like, I'm pretty small, like I'm like 5'1". My mom is like 4'10". She looks like a little elf, like from Scandinavia.
Yeah.
And
a Yag shot's gonna end her.
Right? Yeah. And it's like warm, and he was like super excited about the warmth. He's like, it's like you just came in from skiing. Here, have this, and it was just
did
like
you give
pouring.
A thimble or
he needed to. Yeah, she actually fell into the shack. Rolled up,
hold up, we played Dewdrop.
Yeah, but yeah, so that marriage lasted for about, I would say, maybe 2 months or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there's like, so, you know, when you only know someone for a year and you don't know them in the biblical sense.
Yeah.
Maybe there's some things you need to learn about them.
Does she have, would you say she has like a cognitive dissonance about it? Like, have you tried talking to her to say maybe you wouldn't get divorced so much if you just let yourself have premarital sex? I mean, she doesn't have a problem with divorce, but the premarital sex is wrong.
Isn't
that's
that
so
odd?
Strange.
Well, and I think, you know, and I don't know her well.
Yeah.
And she's very, you know, like, the conversations we have are very surfacey. I can tell she tries with me, and so I don't want to, like, push her. Because
sure.
She's a very nice woman. And I can tell, like, I get a lot of that, like, kind of tight-lipped smile and nod, like, oh, that's so interesting that you do those artistic things.
Minnesota
yeah.
interesting is
yeah.
an insult
yeah.
sometimes. Yeah,
it's
yeah.
just like that. And, why did that sound like a judgment? Like,
right,
just now,
yeah.
you know?
Or,
like,
yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, you have fun.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
fun.
I do.
Oh, how fun. Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah,
yeah so, but yeah, so she, yeah, she's a very, she's a very peculiar woman. I don't
yeah.
think she's very self-reflective, and I don't think she's very introspective. So I don't know that she thinks really anything
sure.
about all these marriages. I
probably
think.
Doesn't even notice the pattern.
No, I'm sure not.
Oh, wow.
And it's funny because my sister-in-law, like, as soon as she started dating this new guy that she just got married to, actually, she just got married again. And my sister-in-law was like, she'll be married soon. And she's no longer invited to the wedding. Like,
oh.
It's not like a family, it's not a problem, but it's
yeah.
because her mom gets married so much that she now, they're just informed later.
Oh, boy. There's no wedding, there's
yeah.
just a ceremony
and
somewhere.
And, like, I'm
yeah.
Facebook friends with her, and I just noticed her name change, so I was like, oh,
well,
there it is.
Oh, boy.
So, obviously, to some degree or another, the magic is worn off. Like, it's less special to her if she's not even letting people know if it's kind of like a,
right.
oh, by the way.
Yeah.
I got
like,
clearly,
she's somewhat aware of it. Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
at least it's not, you know, this shiny, weird thing that needs to be, have such, like, pomp.
This broad
every
wedding,
time.
Every
yeah.
time. Yeah, yeah.
But I feel weird about divorce because it's, like, such a personal thing. I mean, because I'm married,
yep.
obviously. And
yeah.
and so I think, like, divorce would be awful and like, life-ending. But at the same time, I don't know if I think that, like, the stigma that comes with divorce is necessarily fair
right.
or should be.
No, yeah.
But
I think it's a good decision.
Tons of people break
couples.
Up before they get married, and there's no stigma to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the minute you make that decision to get married, suddenly, when your relationship fails, there you did something differently wrong.
Yeah.
I guess. Is the way it seems to me.
I can think of a ton of examples where divorce is awesome.
Yeah.
Good,
well, sure.
necessary,
but the, I
a
think
healthy
this,
thing.
The
like,
stigma is, why'd you get married in the first place? You must have made a mistake, I think,
yeah.
a lot.
Right.
Unless you've been married. And then if it's, unless it's...
Or you couldn't make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Unless it's
yeah.
a long time or someone cheated, in which case then it's like, oh, well, it's this person's fault. But when
right.
it's like my mom and my dad, when they got divorced... I mean, because my mom and my father, when they got divorced, it was clear. My father cheated on my mom. It was awful.
Mm-hmm.
But my mom and my dad, it was more of a, we just don't love each other anymore. This isn't working. Like, we're both
no,
unhappy. And they're still, they had a, not an amicable divorce, but they're having an amicable life
post-divorce.
It took
yeah.
a while, but
yeah.
yeah. I think to some degree that's almost harder for people to understand.
Yeah.
The idea of it just fell apart.
That's interesting, because, like, so, my sister-in-law's father, was the first husband, I think, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know why this, but, like, so two Thanksgivings ago, I don't have kids, and so, like, I'm kind of, like, an afterthought sometimes with my family, where, you know, like, they make sure that, like, whatever works for my brother, because he's got two kids.
Yeah.
And then, so I emailed my parents, like, 2 days before Thanksgiving, and I was like, hey,
what's
are we
up?
Doing stuff?
Yeah.
And I was like, I'll just come by at 2, and they're like, oh, no, Lindsay's father rented a house, or did a Airbnb or whatever.
Yeah.
At this house, and so we're all going there, and I was like, oh, we are?
like, oh, we?
And me too? Or, like, because that feels weird to go to my brother's wife's family's thing.
Mm-hmm.
And, and they're very open and loving people, and so, like, we do a lot of joint things because they've got the only grandkids on both sides. But it was just, like, it felt like a weird thing. But we went, and it was this, like, tangled web of people. So it was my sister-in-law and her sister, and their mother is the one that keeps getting married. She was flying solo at this time. And then Lindsay's father, his lady friend, his...
I love that term.
Sons from, I think, a previous relationship.
Sure.
But they don't belong to the mom.
Right.
That I know.
Right.
So there was it was kind of like a patchwork family.
Yeah.
And then all of their kids, and family. And then me and my husband, who was very introverted, so he was like,
oh, God.
As soon as he opened the door, he was, backing away.
So my gosh. Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
And then my parents, and so it was a funny, I don't know, it was just a funny, awkward thing. And I am ordained through the internet.
As
ministries.
The whole room.
I mean, it seems it's a good thing to do when you are comfortable with public speaking, because it's a useful skill.
Yeah. There are many secular and atheist people who need that kind of thing done.
And so I chose the title of pastor, because my last name is Shepherd, and one of the definitions of pastor is a shepherd of secular people. Mm-hmm. I think is what it. I don't know. It was something that I was like, oh yeah, I could like that, and so right before we ate, the lady friend of the dad was like, oh, well, it's too bad we don't have a pastor or somebody to lead us in prayer. Ooh. And my brother is a funny guy, and he jokingly said, oh, well, Aaron's actually a pastor. And so my brother and I had a good laugh about that until Anne was like, okay, well, go ahead. And
all right,
I haven't prayed in 20 years or something. And so I was like, oh, no, it's just a joke. I'm just ordained through the internet. I married my brother and his wife. But we're not religious, no praying or anything.
Yeah.
And she was like, just go ahead. And so she made all of us hold hands, this whole, weird patchwork, and her, Lindsay's parents, they can be in the same room, but it's, not
strained.
So there's
everyone's tense.
You can feel that polarized magnet kind of feeling. Where
that's Nick's mom and his dad were actually here today to see our Geeks That God recording with ZM Tom or with Levi.
Really, they were both here.
They were both here.
Wow.
My
opposite
mom
eyes
dad
of the aisle
have
and
not existed in the same room
since our wedding.
Since our wedding.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking
without
that. I was like, it's been because I saw your mom, because your mom kept looking over there, and your dad was very much looking anywhere but the stage. And it was.
My mom is cool and happy, and my dad still holds a grudge. They got divorced when I was 12.
His mom came out and they got divorced.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because, kind of when that happens.
My mom has. She's great. She's a very, mentally healthy person. And she, I love her twist on it. She said, he viewed it as, you aren't good enough, or you aren't what I want. But maybe you should just spin it, mentally, after you, no other man would do. I just couldn't, I don't know what to do with myself. I guess I'll just have to go to women.
Couldn't top it.
And I mean, jovial and in good spirits or whatever, but
did they speak? I saw them. I mean, they both talked to you in the same space.
That's
great. She said hi and very casual, and then that was kind of in it. And they both left at the same time, which is the super awkward Minnesotan thing where it's okay, we're gonna bye now. And then goodbye, and then they kind of realize you're going in the same direction as the person you just said goodbye with.
Yeah.
And then maybe one of them chooses to go out in not the direction they wanted to. So that they can actually say goodbye.
Be done with it.
Happened in slow motion today. And I was just this doesn't really I mean, whatever.
It's been a long time.
Yeah. This whole be awkward if you want to be awkward. This has turned into awkward family situations, which isn't what we started with. Well, but that's okay. Yeah.
And that's what happens to Lindsay's parents, though, is that strange. Well,
like, it was this weird thing, and but then I was forced to lead prayer with these people that were, like, pretty much everyone in the room is very religious except for, like, my immediate family.
Yeah.
So, like, my brother and his family are not religious. My parents are not religious. We were raised religious, and my mom went Pentecostal for, like, a minute.
Oh.
Not in my lifetime.
Right.
But pre-my lifetime. Yeah. Like, she did a bunch of drugs, moved to Texas, went Pentecostal, and then came back and was,
sure.
over it. But,
handled some snakes and got over it. Yeah.
Spoke in tongues, and then, but then, it was a very weird thing, because I'm like, I don't know how people pray now. Like, I think the last time I prayed, I was, like, 16.
Mm.
And so, like, I prayed like a kid, where you're like, dear God, thank you for all this food. Amen.
Basic petition of thanks.
Yes,
I had this awkward situation where I was talking to, where Pat and I were hosting Thanksgiving, was it last year or the year before? And it was a large amount of my extended family. So my uncle, my dad's brother, and his wife were there, and one of their kids was there. They're religious. My mom was there. She's Catholic. Then it's my family, and we're all atheists.
Nuns,
I was like, and I talked to Pat, and I'm like, are we going to need to do a prayer? Because in my family, it's like the head of the household, which is the guy with stupid whatever. Anyway,
it would be Pat if you were dead.
It would be.
I mean, it would be though.
In my family, like, the head of the household leads mm-hmm. the prayer, and I'm mm-hmm. like, if we're gonna do that, you know, what do I do? And I was very worried about it. I'm like, because I can't thank God. That is disingenuous. Yeah. I would be lying.
That's how I felt.
She was like, well, we, you know, you don't. And I mean, I felt this way, but I needed her to kind of, you know, tog it through. It's like, you know, we can say thanks without saying thank you to God. We can just say we're all really thankful that we had this opportunity to spend this time together.
This amazing food, you know, all this family.
This amazing food, our family. Yeah. You know, we're thankful for our health and everything like that. And you never have to bring God into it.
Right.
And, you know, it never went there. Nobody ever said, hey, mm-hmm. let's bow our heads and pray. So I got worried about this awkward situation for nothing, but it did make me think through if I ever got asked about that.
Yeah.
If I ever got asked to do that, what would I do? And I'd be like, well, I will be happy to lead a blessing of sorts.
Yeah.
If I was expected to do like a literal prayer to, you know, like Christian God and lead people in that, I don't know, man. I think I'd feel just as awkward, but capable. If someone said, can you just have a conversation with the, like, invisible, like, purple gorilla in the corner? And, like,
it just makes me feel better before I eat.
Talk to him. Just talk to the gorilla for a little while, and then
he gets very angry if we don't thank him before we eat, and I'm worried about his wrath.
Yeah, I can do that. I just, this feels really awkward and not good and something I can do if we need to do that, but I don't. This isn't real. Like.
Well, and that was the thing, is like, it's like leading then a prayer of everybody holding hands in this like weird room of people that I know that most of them have an image of something. Like, so when I say, I don't even know how we started, because I was like, well, do like grown-ups say the word Lord more?
Right.
Like, should I say like, oh Lord.
Dear
like,
Jesus or, Christ. Dear,
yeah, like and it felt weird, because to say dear God, because that made me think of,
dear God, like, help me get this letter, but.
It feels like
the most atheist song. Like
dear Mr. Jesus, or like something like.
Some weird Christian Mr. Postman song.
Right, actually, what movie is that with John C. Reilly where he's like, dear baby Jesus.
Oh, yeah.
What movie was that?
It's the one
it's making... the driving Daytona.
Talladega Nights.
Talladega Nights. Yeah. Dear Jesus.
Yeah. So I think I said something like, I'm sure I said, "Dear God, thank you so much for all this stuff." And then I like kind of slipped in like a liquor joke because I was like, "And thank God for all the wine." And And
Waka waka.
Saturdays are huge. You know, like,
anyone, just leave me the bottle. And like, fortunately, my dad and my brother were on either side of me, and they both like squeezed my hand really hard. So I was like, well, at least I'm like with my people. Holding hands with my people. But it was a tough crowd, and really, I don't know. But I felt phony. Like that was my biggest thing. Was like you said, Tim. Like you would feel uncomfortable posing as this, like, saying something that you wouldn't believe, and it is as absurd as, like, talking to a fabricated beast or something.
Because it is.
Well, yeah. Which is funny, because we're all actors.
Right.
I mean, to some degree. Yeah. I mean, even if it is improvisation or comedy, I mean, we're all actors.
Yeah.
And yet, in this instance, like, I would have no problem acting like an adulteress. I would have no problem acting like a murderer. Right.
But I'm not being hired or cast in the role of the dude saying the family
Exactly. Right. And so it's I've had people say, like, well, what's the big deal? You act. And it's like, well, I mean, yes, but I would like to not...
Be genuine.
I want to be genuine, I mean, I'm not a liar.
And that's, I think that's it. I'm not a liar. And it's like acting where everyone knows that this is a false thing that's happening, a fiction, is one thing. But acting when anyone is not aware that that's what you're doing is a fiction, is a lie, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's if basically
what it is. If people don't know you're
is.
Pretending, it's a lie.
Yeah.
Acting is not lying.
Right.
You are right up front.
It's a mutually agreed upon lie.
Unless you're doing a happening or something like that where you are trying to trick people into thinking that this is real. When you're standing on a stage where they've come into the show and they're looking at a program that's got your name in it, and it's got your real name, and it's got the character you're playing. You are not lying to the audience in any way. You are saying, I am Aaron Shepherd, but today for you, I am going to be Lady Macbeth.
Right. You know? And they're not going to think that, like, oh, she's actually killing people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
We understand that this is
I mean, either that or, like, you're swindling someone, you're lying to someone, you're on a prank show.
Yeah.
I guess like,
well, so when I worked with the Go Game and I would have to I would get, so what it is it's a team building thing, and so companies hire the Go Game, and I usually did them on Nicollet Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be I was a cowgirl once, but the thing that was the worst was I often got cast as the bride left at the altar.
Right.
And so I would have makeup streaming down my face.
Yeah.
I had a bouquet that I would go buy flowers because I like doing it like hardcore, and I had this wedding dress, and they had me sit outside the church that's on Nicollet Mall down by PV Plaza. And so I would sit outside that church and cry. And the goal was that then these people who were in the game who knew would come find me. But the problem is there's also a lot of regular people.
Right.
Yeah. And so I actually had and I wasn't supposed to break character, but I had to. Because people would come up and be like, sweetheart, are you okay?
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I would try to be super hammy, like, my fiance left me. And people still thought it was real. One time someone called the cops because they thought I was in genuine distress. And the cops come up and they're we got a call from a lady who was driving by. She said, you're weeping. Is everything okay here? And I was like, ixnay on the ops case. Like, I'm fine. It's a game. And we had a letter we were supposed to show people if it got serious, but like, that sucked because I would have a team coming near me and people I'm trying to be like, it's fine, go away. And like, I'm not actually, and they'd be like, and then they're confused and they want to know what's going on. And so that was a weird blend. And I can't imagine that's the acting thing. Like, there's that, the audience that was coming knew it wasn't real, but no one else did. So it was frustrating.
It gets a little weird.
Yeah.
So, holy shit, we talked about something completely different than we planned. But
that's all right, though.
That's never happened on this podcast.
No, never.
But we have reached the point where we need to ask 5 questions.
Hooray.
So, Aaron, we did send you these ahead of time. So we gave you a chance to prepare.
I thought about them, yes.
Awesome. So here we go. Question number 1, Nick.
What is the best movie you've seen in the last 30 days? It Doesn't matter where or how.
Okay. Yeah, this is hard. Because I'm so busy all the time that I don't really have time to watch movies. So can I give you a different answer?
Sure.
Okay. So here's what I've been doing instead is I like to have company on in the house when I have to like get stuff done. So like paying bills and stuff. And so I watch like really awful TV shows on Netflix.
Ooh.
And I just kind of let them play because you don't have to pay attention.
Yeah.
It's just, like,
yeah.
Crap
yeah.
stuff. And so the one that I just watched is a show called Revenge.
Oh, yeah.
Is that on the ID network or something? Is it like...
I think it's ABC or something. It's,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pat was really into the first season of the show. She said it got pretty bad
after
that.
The worst. It's so terrible. And, like, there's just, like, there's so much... It's such a soap opera.
Is it Kerry Washington?
No, that's Scandal.
Okay.
I've also done that.
Yeah.
They're also my friends. But, yeah, so that was one that I just watched, and it's just... It's wretched.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay attention.
Right.
So, like, I can, like, you know, pay a bill, go to the bathroom, get some coffee, and I'll come back, and I'm like, oh, I know. And I could say the lines, like, at the same time as them, because I'm that good of a writer in my head of
people. Yeah, yeah. Who are you, and what have you done with? That's
So that's kind of what I have on to like let my mind calm down.
That's awesome.
From stuff. So
awesome. All right. Question number two
is, who is your favorite atheist character?
I would have to say Dumbledore.
Ooh, that's a good answer.
Thanks.
Mm.
Yeah, I feel like he's got a really good sense of right and wrong, but then also understands like all the gray. That's in the world, you know, like mm-hmm. there's not, nobody is completely good, nobody is completely evil.
Yeah,
it's like finding like how can you do the best for others and mm-hmm. yourself and the world and be an honorable
especially
person.
With the way that he treats Severus, because like he sees him but like, and knowing that he, sorry guys, spoilers, knowing that he's gonna be killed by like planning it
right, yeah.
in that way of like, you're
asking
gonna kill me,
yeah,
I need you to do that, this is how we're gonna, you have to be the villain,
yes.
I know you're a good person in your heart, like yeah,
yeah.
that's really
good. I
feel
like he sees the best in people, which is
yeah.
one of the nice
potential,
things about that.
Yeah.
He sees,
yeah.
I mean, even when you see how he deals with Tom Riddle in the
yeah.
second book. And you get, you know, even though you can tell that he suspects that Tom Riddle is not, he's a bit of a rotten egg, but he's hopeful
mm-hmm.
that he's wrong.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's sure there's a piece in there.
Yeah.
I haven't read the books at all.
Yeah.
I've only seen the movies. I probably never will read the books, to be honest. I realize I'm missing out on
good.
Some nerd stuff.
I think you can read them on your Kindle and enjoy them a lot. Like, they're Dresden style. You would like them.
Yeah, I think... I mean, as soon as you get to certain points in the story, if you go back and watch or reread the you know, beginning stuff, your perspective on the character is totally different.
Oh, yes.
Because
yeah.
he's kind of a fucking asshole.
Dumbledore?
He's
manipulative.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
yeah,
that's
sure.
it. He's like Wizard CIA.
And a little
he's doing shady
yeah.
shit. He's withholding
yeah.
information. He's
yeah.
definitely endangering children
yeah.
towards a greater good.
Oh, yeah.
And he's endangering children because he doesn't feel like he's got a choice. And he
yeah.
feels awful about it.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Necessary
evil. I do
evil.
Not have the choice. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And good answer. All right. Question number three. What is your geekiest hobby?
My geekiest hobby? I don't know. Something that I get really into is, and I don't know if this could be considered a hobby, but I've been really paying attention to like body language and movement, and specifically
mm-hmm.
with improv, because I guess improv is probably my geekiest hobby.
Sure.
It's like, it's a super geeky thing to do, but it's also the most amazing thing, and I think everybody should try it.
Agreed.
But it's one of those things where, like, a lot of improvisers, especially if they're not theatrically trained, they back off of their declaration. So they'll make a verbal declaration, and their body is screaming the opposite.
Uh-huh.
And, like,
messages.
Yeah, like, I remember being in a scene with this guy one time, and his mouth, like, his voice was proposing to me, but he was, like, slowly backing away. And it was amazing, because I was like, I don't think you mean this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, why are you running away? And then that became, like, a fun game. But he wasn't intending that. He just was, like, the performer, was uncomfortable with the situation, and so his body was, like, bailing.
Yeah,
while
yeah.
he's trying to, like, stay in the
and
scene.
And you read it really well, because that's your geek. That's your
right,
thing.
Yes,
and so
yeah.
you read it, and you made it even funnier by being able to read that.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, but it is a funny thing, like when I watch improv, like you can see people's feet are moving or they're pointed in a different direction
mm-hmm.
and they're like trying to force something, and I feel like we don't listen to our bodies enough, so I guess like paying attention to body and like listening to your body is something that I could geek out on talking about.
That is totally
having watched you in the epic lip sync battle. No, I mean seriously, that was the most amazing stuff. Was you were doing these incredible movements with your body, and they were. Knowing you're a choreographer, I knew it was going to be great. But it was like it was very evocative, and it was simple. And that was the best part, was it was very simple movements in the sense that it wasn't like a big complicated dance, but it was very much like your body language was really, all eyes were on you.
Oh,
and I could not say that for everyone else. Like the room was transfixed. It was really good.
Oh, this is totally my like 101 student like chit showing, but I'm in a communications class right now in college, and they say that nonverbal, like body communication, is anywhere from 65 to like 90% of where people get their meaning and their interpretation of another's motives and what they're actually saying.
Yeah.
Body language is more believable and more authentic and genuine to us than verbal communication.
Mm-hmm.
If someone says, yeah, but everything about them physically is saying no, you're going to believe the no, despite the fact that they're very literally saying yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, I mean, clearly it's very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And if you're aware of it and you can use that as a tool, that's even that much better.
Yeah. So question number four.
Question number four, absolutely. What is your favorite sandwich?
I'm super into like a really good egg sandwich.
Oh,
like I normally like if I'm having like breakfast and I have to have like I'll eat the eggs just to feel better about having the bacon.
Yeah.
But like an egg sandwich is like that I actually enjoy the whole thing of. So like if it's like a really like buttery flaky biscuit that's like also very salty.
Yeah.
And then like I prefer my eggs scrambled if they're done well. You know, sometimes they get kind of like spongy and you feel like you're eating like styrofoam. But like a nice like kind of scrambled egg patty, and then like cheddar cheese, and then really crispy melt in your mouth bacon.
Nice.
Would be that's my favorite.
I used to eat a lot of like fried egg sandwiches, like so it'd just be like bread, Miracle Whip, fried egg, slice of cheese, like that was like just that. It was that sounds amazing.
One of our common sayings on this podcast: egg levels up a sandwich.
Egg makes a sandwich better.
Do you, for scrambling eggs, are you a like homogeneously mixed, or like so it's like totally uniform, or like some white and some yellow?
I like some white and some yellow.
Yeah, that's right.
Mix it up.
That's right.
Yeah. What about,
I think that's a better flavor.
Yeah.
Some people like
it. Interesting.
Cooked to the point where it's like dryish, or like still wet.
A little wet. Like I don't want it to be like super sloppy, but if there's a little bit of like I don't know, egg water.
Yeah. Sure.
Then like that's probably good.
Miasma.
Egg miasma sounds like the most unappetizing.
Egg miasma sounds like something that you have to deal with at Planned Parenthood, like for sure. All right, question number five. What's the stupidest thing anyone's ever said to you about being an atheist, or I guess religion in general?
Yeah. So I was a counselor at a Christian camp for a week.
Oh.
This was like when I was being raised Christian.
I would hope so.
And people loved my last name because it's Shepherd. And even though it's spelled like P-P-A-R-D, it's not like a herder of sheeps. But it was like this thing where like anytime I would tell somebody at the camp my full name, they would be like, oh, Shepherd. And I'm like, what are
you're
you
sent
thinking?
Here.
Like, it was such a weird thing. And so that was pretty dumb. Like, I
That's
remember just
pretty
being
dumb.
Very confused by that. And I, you know, it wasn't about being an atheist, but it was a religious setting where they just loved my last name.
It's amazing that you were at the time, I mean, religious in that way that you don't know anything else yet, you know, and still you're like, that's dumb.
Well, and that's actually, I think, part of, like, I always felt so cultish, and the other counselors, like, I had actually a camper that was atheist. She was raised atheist, and she came with a friend, and she was like, I don't know if I believe in Jesus, and I was like, I don't know if I do either. Let's go take a walk and talk about it, and which I was like, I thought that was, a pretty good move, like, for my 17-year-old self to be like, let's hash this out, and But the other counselors found out, and I got in trouble for it, because they were like, you just tell them about Jesus. And I was like, but I don't know about Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that was a weird thing. And then they all knew the same songs, and I did not know them. And so I would, like, go to the counselor meetings, and they would be like, let's begin with this hymn. And there would be, like, no words or anything to, like, read.
Yeah.
So I'd just be like,
they just knew it.
Jesus, like, I would just try to, like, fake it, and it was that whole thing was dumb. It was super dumb.
I'm just trying to think. I mean, if your name was Mary, holy shit, they would just
Mary Shepherd.
They would lose their shit.
Yeah,
they would just be like,
people don't assume that I work with, like, small leather goods or, like,
saddles
or gloves or anything. And
yeah,
I mean, if your name's Carpenter, is that a good thing?
Yeah, ooh,
yeah.
Right, yeah.
John Carpenter.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that movie just made sense.
Yeah.
All right. Boy. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Remind everyone that if you are in the Twin Cities, if you're local, please check out Huge Theater. Yes, Anderson. Please. At Huge Theater, it's Saturday nights at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Yep, Life Impromptu, April, March and April. Yeah,
March and April.
So through the end of April. This is probably going up at the end of March.
Yeah.
We have been Geeks Without God. As always, please do us a great favor. Rate us on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Facebook. This, even though you know this by now, but just earlier this evening, we raised $1,000 for Fearless.
Eight
people are sending us to Scientology, so that episode is coming up. We are all going to go to a Scientology center
and get audited.
So we'll be able to tell you something about our Thetans, but I don't know what.
I've got a sneaking suspicion that Nick's an SP.
Yeah, definitely.
So we look forward to that, and we will catch you next time.
Bye.
I'm sorry. I'm still stuck on the microwaved Jaeger shots.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Even if you hadn't, I'd be like, that's fine. It's a stupid law.